gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, of course, I'll tell you what I said to Ken Melman.
What did you say to Ken Melman?
I'll tell you that story.
He was invited?
Waiting.
Of course, I'll tell you about my conversation with Ted Olson. But first, do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online. Back up. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. You'll want to freeze all my stories from last night in Carbonite. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. By the way, it's Friday, that other voice.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
That's right.
Oh,
and remember, Carbonite.
Friday is
Fridays with Fugles.
Shit, it's on fire.
Back that big app up, yo, with Carbonite. Good morning, children.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Lovely to have you back in New York. I'm sorry you're leaving us again.
I'm leaving today, but it's been a fabulous week here in the Big Apple.
And you're ready to move back. You're ready to move back to New York City.
Listen, you
New
and
York
I are in a standoff. We're in a hostage crisis. It's about you moving back to L.A. It's about me moving back to New York.
As soon as someone offers me a job that's not a vulgar burlesque, I'll move back to L.A. In the meantime, I'm enjoying my carbon monoxide very much. Thank you.
By the way, Chris, yes. I look like I'm like a broken down old burlesque dancer this morning because I did Larry King last night after my fancy do, and I can never get these damn false eyelashes off, so I look a little...
So that's why you have the tasseled pasties on.
Yeah. I still like, the nipple tassels have wilted by this morning.
I'm all, right.
All right.
Nice.
All right.
Sound like a drag queen the day after Halloween.
Yes, thanks. Thank you, John. Okay. So the point is, StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can see the Larry King appearance if you missed it up on StephanieMiller.com in the video section. Lots to get to today. Shannon Travis, in fact, from CNN, joins us.
Brilliant.
Who has a special this weekend, pre-election, which is great timing, right before the Tuesday election, on the Tea Party. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. So happy to talk to you.
Same here.
So you have a special this weekend called Boiling Point Inside the Tea Party, where you really were a brave enough man to go undercover for these last, 18 months?
Yeah, I wouldn't say undercover. It was very much in the open.
Yeah, on the up and up.
The movement. Yeah, on the up and up. And I've been covering the movement for the past 18 months. I've been embedded with him since earlier this year. So, yeah, lots of insightful stuff, lots of revealing stuff in this documentary, never before seen moment. So, absolutely looking forward to it.
Yeah, literally talked to hundreds, right, of candidates. Yeah, you looked at their ads, their controversies, the primaries, the polls, as we count down, of course, to the midterms on Tuesday. There's a bunch of different groups, obviously, that self-identify as Tea Party. Tell us, your general impression of what you found.
Well, you're exactly right. There are actually thousands, about 5,000 to be exact, local groups that self-identify under the Tea Party banner. And here's some of my observations that they are definitely sincerely concerned about spending the deficits, the $1 trillion, deficit and the way that the spending has been exploding under both administrations, the previous one and the current one, that they are a group of patriotic Americans, but at the same time that there are fringe elements that might not like the president because he's African American, and that might have...
Yes, I picked that up from the subtlety of some of the signs myself.
So, my observations are that, by and large, it is a group of Americans who are just sincerely and genuinely concerned with the spending, Stephanie, but that you do have a certain fringe element that's lurking out there.
It's interesting. I'll blow my wad and tell my Ken Melman story early since you're on the phone. because I know that one of the people you interviewed talked about that. Yeah, they one of the groups they support fiscal conservatism over social issues. But I said to Ken Melman last night, as who's the former chair of the RNC who just came out as a gay man, and I said, aren't you concerned by the amount of out and out homophobes that are running on the Republican side? And he's sort of, I swear to God, I think still a Republican, still using that, they're really more concerned about smaller government, whatever. I'm like, well, gee, that's quite an array of homophobes. I mean, why, do you know what I'm saying? Like, when you look at the Christine O'Donnells or Carl Paladinos or Jim DeMintz, why all of the, focus on, in this case, homophobia, but on social issues when they claim to just be about small government?
Well, if you want to talk about the Tea Party movement, the Tea Party, most of them will tell you, hey, we do not talk about social issues. We don't want to talk about social issues. Why, Stephanie? Because they know that that will split their movement right down the middle. They want to try and focus on the one thing that they feel unifies them, which is spending the economy or what have you.
But isn't that... Right, sure, Shannon, but that's my point, is isn't that part of the problem, is that it is not one movement. There's a lot of infighting among Tea Party groups, among the Tea Party and the Republican Party. Like I say, it's interesting if you're saying the rank-and-file Tea Party members don't want to talk about social issues, but then, you know, you have almost every Tea Party candidate saying something homophobic or something, you know, about a social issue, right?
You're absolutely right. I mean, it is one of the problems that the Republican Party has been struggling with for a while, in terms of increasing their tent. You know, the social liberals versus economic conservatives or what have you. I can give you this little anecdotal evidence. I go to some of these rallies sometimes, and again, you have these economic conservatives out there talking about the deficit. But then on the sidelines, I've seen numerous times people saying, hey, we support what you're talking about, but we can't even begin to talk about the economy or spending until we take care of abortion or until we stop gay marriage or what have you. So there's some infighting among the conservative activist movement, definitely.
Yep. Shannon, I know that you interviewed, I mean, one of the other memes that they put out there is that, you know, this is a totally different thing. It has nothing to do with the Republican Party. I mean, they're Republicans, right? They're just far-right Republicans.
There is no Tea Party.
Yeah, I mean, you talk to Sal Russo, who's a longtime, of course, Republican activist, organizer of the recall of California Governor Gray Davis. He's the founder of one of the Sacramento-based Tea Party Express, correct?
Sal Russo, a lot of people call him the Karl Rove of the Tea Party movement.
Oh, wow.
So that means they hate him.
But to that point about them being Republicans, two strains of thought there. Our polling and most other polling that I've looked at definitely says that the vast majority of them are definitely Republicans. But on the other hand, they say, hey, we're not in bed with any one particular party. And if you look at what's happened this primary season, they've gone after Republicans also. Now, they've gone after Republicans in favor of more conservative Republicans.
Right.
But, you know, if you kind of look at it like in Las Vegas, they went after the establishment pick. Same thing in Kentucky. Same thing in Delaware. They've gone after Republicans. Yes, they are Republicans, but...
Shannon, well, you know, get your take on what's going to happen Tuesday, but I've been saying, you know, over and over that I think this is nothing but good news for Democrats. I think one of the biggest wars here is between clearly the Republican establishment and the Tea Party. I mean, you mentioned Karl Rove. He's the one saying Sarah Palin's not qualified, Christine O'Donnell's not qualified. What's wrong with you people?
It depends on if they win or lose. If they win, and obviously a lot of these races are tight. I mean, that Harry Reid, Sharron Engel race in Nevada is deadlocked.
Unbelievable.
These other ones, it could go either way. So if they win, then I think it threatens Democrats. But if they lose, then it'll be a huge gamble that just didn't win.
Well, Shannon, I've said, I mean, I think it will implode on them in many places, certainly in Delaware. Christine O'Donnell's going to lose by a mile.
And won't that vindicate Karl Rove?
Karl Paladino will lose by a mile in New York, of course. Joe Miller has dropped a third now in Alaska. I mean, so we'll see, right? I mean, how do you think all this is going to play out on Tuesday, Shannon?
I have always said I don't know how it's going to go, you know, one way or the other. I mean, you're right that the polling is not looking good for Paladino in New York and for O'Donnell in Delaware. But I've said since I've been following this movement that this is really a big test. This is a big test in much the way, same way that it was a big test for the Reform Party with Ross Perot back in 92, much the way that the Dini Act, Howard Dean supporters, and some of the things that they were doing was a gamble. This is a test. We can't accurately gauge the Tea Party's strength and impact until they win in a general election. Can't really count in the primaries because it's not so hard to elect a conservative Republican in a Republican primary. But can you get those same people, the Sharron Engels, the Rand Pauls, the Pat Toomeys, to win in a general election? So,
Shannon, one of the things I'm curious about, you know, as a journalist, I mean, I think the Tea Party winning would be a disaster on so many levels that we have no time to go into now. But one of them would be, you know, does this create a new paradigm for candidates in journalism? I mean, one of the things all these Tea Party candidates have in common is they won't answer questions from real journalists, you know?
Yeah, I've been frustrated by that myself,
sure.
To be honest with you, and I'm just trying to...
I mean, will
to
we think. Have campaigns by Twitter and Facebook from now on if these
could.
People get in?
You very well could. I mean, they could be forever changing the model of how candidates get their message out. If you look at the case of Sarah Palin, she only really speaks to Fox. She's under contract there. But she's covered by arguably everyone. Why? Because, well, the mainstream media will see a Facebook post or tweet and we'll cover it.
Right.
And you've seen that in this cycle from a lot of these other conservative candidates saying, hey, no national press or no quote-unquote mainstream media. We're only going to talk to locals and we're only going to talk to outlets that we deem to be friendly to us. So
one of the people... Shannon, one of the people you talked to, of course, is FreedomWorks founder Dick Armey, about accusations that, of course, he is funded by powerful moneyed groups and not grassroots supporters. And I imagine he was sensitive about that in that he's funded by powerful moneyed groups and not grassroots supporters. How did that go?
Wait until you see his response.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a real eye-opener for me, and I think probably a lot of your listeners when they hear that. I mean, you just hit the nail, the head of the nail, that there is this notion that the movement is really being funded by billionaires or corporations to further their own self-interest. They, of course, say, Tea Party activists and groups say, no, it's by people like you and I sending in $5 million donations. But the President of the United States has even lobbied this accusation that, you know, it's AstroTurf. You know, they're not.
Well, but it's not just an accusation, isn't it, Shannon? It's pretty easily provable, isn't it?
Well, with some of the groups, yes, and some of them, no. It depends on how they're structured. With a group like FreedomWorks, they do not have to disclose. There's no law because of the way they're structured. They
oh, how convenient.
Who their donors are. And you'll see in the documentary how I press and kind of go on the hunt for answers, like, who are your donors? And you'll see their responses. But, yeah, it depends on how the groups are structured, whether they have to disclose or not. For some of the groups, some of the prime backers of the Tea Party groups that have disclosed their donors, yes. We've absolutely seen big corporate cash, but we've also seen a lot of small money donations to those groups as well.
Yes, people being duped into voting against their self-interest. Well, you know, Shannon, what my sense I take away from you is that we are screwed, but it sounds highly entertaining, and it airs this weekend, Boiling Point Inside the Tea Party on CNN, hosted by Shannon Travis. Shannon, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
All right. Talk to you soon. There he goes.
Wow. That sounds fascinating.
Rude. With two syllables.
I'm excited for that. But if Christine O'Donnell loses by 67 points, will Karl Rove be vindicated in the eyes of the people that he once controlled?
Apparently. Oh, I was going to tell you that story. I was supposed to be on Larry King with Karl Rove last night.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Yeah, it's in my, well, I'll tell you when we get back. It's called a tease in the radio business, son.
Is that what you do?
Listen, Sonny, pay attention.
It's not like I've been in this business for 20 years.
Hold on through the break, as they say.
As lame people say, we'll be back in one hot minute.
19 minutes after the hour. Right back, everybody, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And don't let those screeches bother me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I get it because it's Halloween.
Yeah.
It's Sunday, everybody, and we're in radio.
They're like you.
We got to play that and Monster Mash later.
Good buddy, everybody.
Monster Mash.
Can I just say I hate Halloween? Someone just told me yesterday it's Halloween. I'm like,
but you love Satan.
What?
But you love Satan.
I do. I love Satan and I hate children. So, you know, I don't like...
How can you hate Halloween?
I'm the weird elderly shut-in that the kids, they won't come to my house anyway.
Well,
I actually buy candy, and they're like, oh, that's a weird old.
Yeah, but you
got to
turn your front porch light on. Hmm? You don't turn your front porch light on.
Yes,
so that,
I do.
That's why the
it
kids
goes on
don't
automatically. They just think I'm that old, you know, musty-smelling woman that gives out raisins.
They're upset by your scare palin in the front yard.
They think I'm Christine O'Donnell. That's,
yeah.
There's some sort of dink on a satanic altar going
I'm
on.
I'm not a witch. I'm you.
Mm. Happy Halloween, everybody. John's mom is here in New York to see the Halloween parade in the village.
Yes. Mom wanted to see the trannies.
Mom is kind of hip.
That's... Wow.
Well, you know, my mom, the ex-nun, back in the 90s, I got her and my dad to come to a few Halloween parades, and they loved it. My father had never seen an adult man in lingerie at the end of October walking on the streets, and they enjoyed it. So, Mom...
And you never forget your first time.
Exactly. It means a lot. So Mom was coming up for my cousin's wedding. It's her first trip to New York in ages, and I said, what do you want to do? And she goes, I want to see the trannies. So my mom, the ex-nun...
Does she know that's not... I don't think that's the politically correct
term. Did she actually use the term trannies?
No, she didn't. She said, I want to be at the Halloween parade.
See the gentleman.
What my mom
ladies.
Says and what I hear are two very different things. So I'll be stomping around Greenwich Village with my mom and the trannies.
I took my mom. I remember Chris. Remember a long time ago the old radio show. What was that show we used to go to? It was a drag show. I took my mom to the drag show.
It was a drag queen restaurant that was here in Los Angeles.
Yes. Oh, I love that place.
Yeah.
My mom's like, oh my, they're very attractive. All right.
Yeah.
They are. Oh dear, they're much prettier than you are. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As Mama wraps up her week in New York last night.
I've been waiting for this.
Why, thank you. Could I have my going somewhere fancy music, please? I went somewhere fancy. John, I've had a fancy week here in New York.
I saw you a few nights ago in Times Square before you went to do something fancy.
Exactly. He did. Oh, that's right. We met for drinks before my last fancy thing.
That was two fancy things ago. I thought you meant she was walking Times Square.
No, that's before she had this job.
Okay.
Listen, I looked this morning like I came from Charlie Sheen's hotel room. Can I just say, because my fake eyelashes are sort of half unglued and a little...
So tell us about your fancy night.
Oh, well, I will. I went with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Isn't he there right now?
As you pointed out, Chris, we've been doing this, 7 years, this show?
Yeah.
He's not very good at it.
No.
He's sort of like the Wile E. Coyote of progressive radio. Oh, geez, Ron, the movable hole in the mountain again. Okay.
He needs to stop buying...
Oh, I wonder what's in here. Exploding birdseed? Okay.
He needs to stop buying his equipment from Acme. Maybe that will help.
All right. Anyway, we went to this great benefit for the American Foundation for Equality, which is all the folks behind No on Prop 8.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a chance to talk to Ted Olson, who is... I love him. I already went from gay to questioning this week because of Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah.
And now I have completed the circle with Ted Olson.
Okay.
I'm sure
we'll allow that.
I met Perry. Do you know who I mean? Perry... Of Perry versus Schwarzenegger. We are going to have that on the show. Chris Perry and her lovely wife, Sandy.
Sweet.
The plaintiffs in the Prop 8 case were there, and the male couple as well. So that we're all new best friends, and they're all going to come on the show.
Ted Olson's going to come on your show?
I don't know. Hopefully. And all the plaintiffs.
Wow.
Yes. Look at Chrissy. Can you see this on Skype? You know, this is what I bring you after my little events.
It's a Chardonnay-soaked napkin.
Chardonnay-soaked business card with a lot of stuff written on the back. Can you see that?
Here,
write it down. Okay.
Oh, thanks.
I always hand him things, and he's like, you spilled something on this.
I can't read it.
And I did talk to Ken Melman.
Yes, you did.
How did that go?
I resisted the urge to say anything untoward or do anything untoward, but I have some issues.
It's a fine line between untoward and non-hypocritical when you're talking to Ken Melman.
Yes. Well, I'm told from people in the movement that he is doing a lot now.
Does he have a time machine? Because until he has a time machine, he's not doing a lot for the movement.
Yes. I'll tell you all about that conversation and Ted Olson and John Fugles. We have, it's like 1 degree of Ted Olson separation today. So we will talk about all that as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour.
Circle of Republican love.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You have so many unsolvable problems, like your mouth. Looks like somebody kicked a hole in a bag of flour.
We were just having that discussion, how I hate every picture taken of me.
Well, I know.
You know how I am on photo authorization. Every picture John Fugelsang has ever taken of me, I have not authorized.
I've taken
multiple
pictures of you. I've taken so many gorgeous ones. And, Chris, here's what I was just screaming at her about in the break. I took a picture of her upstate New York last summer at the Croton Dam.
Right.
And she hated it. Hated it. Yelled at me for it. And now it's being used in the P90X ad. The same photo I took.
How did that happen? See, I think there's some conspiracy between you and this one.
Yeah, the elves did it,
Stephanie. Because I didn't authorize that picture. So somehow you got that picture to him. Bastard
Bloody
people.
Hell.
Bastard people.
Well, we needed a picture of you for P90X.
Oh, you probably snaked that. All right.
But anyway. You look great in it.
Yes, she does.
Thank you. No, there was some pictures taken the other night. My hair looks like Bob's Big Boy.
Oh,
I don't know what's happening. It's a whole thing. Anyway.
Do we have some body issues that we need to discuss?
Mm-hmm.
No, we have self-loathing issues. Oh. You know, I was just saying, what a loss to the Catholic Church that we didn't get you. You know? I mean, you are so hard on yourself. You're like a Catholic Jew.
Yes,
is what
you really are.
All right. So I was saying I went to this big, No on Prop 8, the big American Foundation for Equality, which is fabulous.
Yes.
My friend Bruce Cohen.
In New York, even though it was
Bruce
the wrong
Cohen,
state.
Bruce Cohen, who, by the way, is producing the Oscars this year. He put this together, along with my friend Chad Griffin, who is, Griffin Shakey in Los Angeles. They and the Reiners, you know, put this whole No on Prop 8 campaign. Mm-hmm. It was great. Alan Cumming was hosting. It was a live auction. It was fabulous.
Yeah?
Yes.
Ted was Alan Cumming talking about how Obama's done nothing for the LGBT movement the entire time? Because that's what he's doing these days.
Who?
Alan Cumming has wrote a whole op-ed about how Obama's done nothing for LGBT.
I didn't speak to him about that.
Well.
But I would have bitch-slapped him with one of my Obama apologist hands had I known that.
But go on, please.
So Mayor Bloomberg spoke, and he is 2 inches tall in person.
He really is. He's a short.
Which may hurt his presidential aspirations. He's right on marriage equality, right on the Ground Zero mosque. But he's about 2 inches tall.
Hmm. Well, so is Sarkozy, and he's president of France.
That's true. Well, France, though, they don't care.
No, they don't.
but he was great.
He had a hot wife, Sarkozy, so that's how he got in.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, Ted Olson has a hot and smart lawyer wife who is fabulous, who I talked to. I'll tell you that whole...
And a Democrat? Lifelong Democrat.
And can I just tell you, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, for a straight guy... He went up to Mrs. Olson and said, "Those shoes are fabulous."
Oh.
He said, "Can I say he's one of the only straight guys here? Those shoes are fabulous." And they
remember,
they
excuse
like
me,
they
that's how smart straight guys hit on women artfully.
Yes.
All right, don't I don't want to blow a trade secret.
You missed this story. Here's something else I found out about the guy that owns the
friendship
show this
ring.
Week. Yes, he and his best friend, another middle-aged married straight guy with kids, they have friendship rings.
They have friendship rings.
Gay or cute, which is I can't tell.
Both?
Gay or cute.
That's impulse buy.
I had lunch with his friend Seymour, and I'm like, and he's like, this is Ron and I.
Were they in the war together? Like,
no.
Can they serve a non-together?
No. See, I think if you don't have the war excuse, I don't know.
If you don't have the war excuse, then it's kind of like you just can't
even
the
with the
lead.
War excuse, you're treading on thin ice, I think.
Yeah, that's like they just sit together and watch pro wrestling. And that's,
yeah.
You know.
Remember when we spooned in the foxhole?
He's never going to give me a job now.
He's barely giving me one. Oh, you know, kids.
Oh, come on.
Listen. All right, so...
Ted Olson.
Ted Olson.
Ted Olson shaved the mustache, got highlights, looks 10 years younger.
He's great.
I knew Ted Olson's late wife, Barbara, who we lost on 9/11.
Right.
Yes.
And one of the most Republican women I ever met in my life.
Yeah, but this was like actually a fascinating conversation I had with Mrs. Olson now, who, as you said, I think she's a Democrat and
describes herself as a lifelong Democrat.
Yeah, and she may have evolved his thinking. Who knows?
It would appear so.
Yes, like Wendy Schultz did with Ed Schultz. I mean, we've heard these stories.
Like we're hoping Rupert's wife does with Rupert.
But she told me something fascinating. And, Chris, we're next month having Wendy Walker on, who's Larry King's executive producer.
Right.
Who also was a good friend of Barbara Olson's. But it's interesting. She talks in there about how they were her marriage role models. That he believes so much in marriage, period. That, you know, and she just talks about what a great marriage they had. And that even when she called him from the plane on 9/11.
Yeah.
How even in that horrible moment, he told her the truth that other planes had hit other buildings.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, but she says, you know, they were my role models for a great marriage. And so, and Mrs. Olson now, who I think they've been married now.
They met a year after Barbara died. And then they got married 5 years later in 2006.
Right. And so, we talked about that, and it was fascinating. She said he is a marriage guy. He's a married guy. Like, he believes so much in marriage. And she was saying this was part of his thinking that everybody should have this right, which I just thought was beautiful.
Yeah.
And she was just awesome and smart and beautiful, and I met their daughter. And, you know, but it just seems like he speaks so eloquently about it, you know, because in the beginning, remember there were, like, conspiracy theories, like,
sure.
Oh, maybe Ted Olson's getting behind this because he's going to
try
to lose the case
or something,
you know.
Yeah.
But he does. If you hear him speak, he speaks so eloquently about it.
No, I mean, he's not the only Republican.
He really clearly believes in it.
Dick Cheney is more liberal than Barack Obama on marriage equality.
Right.
You know,
well,
it's like...
I don't know if you saw the president's, you know, that was kind of big news last night. That he said his he's evolving.
Yeah, his views are evolving. Yeah.
His thoughts are evolving. And, you know, one consultant said a president doesn't think out loud like that unless he's...
Not until after the 2012 elections, no. He'll evolve a lot more after that.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think that the whole... Look, John, I got to tell you, I'm a gay person, and I years ago thought, oh, well, you know, civil unions, that's fine. Like, you know, you just didn't think we would get here or get here this quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You thought, oh, well, you know, what's the difference? And then you, as people like Ted Olson have made the argument, you're like, it is separate but equal.
It's completely
the same thing.
And
it's saying, oh, well, you know, yes, black person, you can marry a white person, but we're not going to call it marriage.
This is why Republicans should be the ones leading the fight for marriage equality.
Yes.
You guys say you believe in liberty, you believe in getting the government out of your life. You guys should be leading this fight.
And Ted Olson and I talked about that, you know, my dad's running mate, Barry Goldwater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The famous line about gays in the military, you don't have to be straight, you just have to shoot straight. I said, so we had that conversation about, he reminds me of that kind of Republican, and they don't exist anymore. Today we have the Palladinos and the DeMints and the Christine O'Donnells and Ken Buck.
But it's even worse because we don't even know who the real homophobes in the Republican Party are or who's just acting that way to get votes from a homophobic base. You know, I want the Republican Party leaders to start leading and stop pandering to the wing nuts and the illiterates and the inbreds in the deep, deep, deep pockets of their base.
But you're right. I mean, on Newsweek, the conservative case for gay marriage was so compelling. So powerful that you just couldn't, you really can't argue with it. So it really was just so great to talk to him in person and, you know, about this whole evolution. I mean, we'll see what happens with the president, but I thought, you know, this is the conversation. I get into this conversation with Ken Melman, and you're right, I had to just like,
You wrinkled your nose, didn't you?
I hope he's wearing a cup, but
Ken needs to build a time machine because there's a lot of people in office now hurting gay people that Ken put there.
I said this on TV. You know, the enemy he's sleeping with is not another man. It's the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, you know, again, it was... I didn't have a lot of time to talk to him. And
is he still a Republican?
See if he'll come on. I don't know if he will, if he'll come on the show. But I just asked him that. I said, you know, doesn't this bother you, these sort of stunning array of homophobes that the Republicans have put forward this cycle? Because he says he's still a Republican.
That he himself put forward.
And he defended it just like he used to on TV with Bush all the time. That used to always to irritate the bejesus out of me. He said, you know, they're really more focused on small government than, you know, and I'm like, well and he did admit they're homophobic, but I'm like, how are you still a Republican then? How are you at this event for equality and really trying to do penance now and help the marriage equality movement, and you can still defend Republicans?
But for people like him, small government is much more important than marriage equality.
Well, where was he when his boss was running up the biggest deficit?
Exactly. Small government is code words for let rich guys run the country.
And
that's,
I'm sorry, they used
gay
people as a battering ram during those elections. And
yes, they did.
Stood by while they did it, you know. So I was very gracious to him. I said, congratulations, I'm coming out. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, look, I didn't want to be judged, and I don't want to judge anybody else on their timing. That's the worst thing that can happen is, you know, when somebody comes out, people go, oh, how come now? Or, you know what I mean? Like, no one's going to come out then if you criticize people for the way or how they did it, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm just trying to explain to you his mindset. I have a whole lot of friends who are gay Republicans. And, you know, for them, small government and lower taxes trumps marriage equality.
Yeah, still like being a black Klan member to me. But
exactly.
Okay.
Vegetarians for meat.
Well,
It's true, it is. I don't think that George and Laura Bush are homophobes. I think they like gay people, but George had to act a homophobe to get votes. It's like, start leading, you damn Republicans. You can't use the Bible anymore to say same-sex relationships are wrong. I bore your listeners with this all the time, Steph. But this is an example of where the conservative party, they should be the ones leading the fight to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
They should be the ones leading the fight for marriage equality. And the Republicans should be the ones who led the fight for a public option. I mean, everything they believe in, they fight against.
Yep.
And the small government stuff is just a bunch of crap. They want big government. Reagan grew the government by 61,000 jobs. Bush even more at the Department of Homeland Security. It's all code words for feudalism.
But they're married to the idea of smaller government.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Well,
so,
it gets votes.
Yeah.
Listen, you have to, first, before you talk to Ted Olson and thank him for everything he's done for marriage equality, you have to erase the thanks for giving us George Bush's...
Exactly.
Thanks for the whole Bush v. Gore thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, also...
Ted Olson, too.
Shirley Online, too, has another point about Ted Olson.
Oh, boy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Shirley in Phoenix here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Shirley.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a cold, and I hope you don't catch it.
Thank you. Thank you. That's why I have this
really
this cover on my microphone.
Okay, one good turn doesn't mean there's another good turn. I like what he did. Okay. There shouldn't even be a problem with gay people having their rights, and I like that because he's a Republican. But I want you to ask him about Citizens United.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing is, that's more bodies thrown in the coffer. That goes for gays, too.
Yeah.
Their rights are going to be, like us, lessened, as far as I'm concerned. I want to know where his head is at. The fact is that our democracy, including the gay, I mean, they're part of our, they are our country. I don't ever want to use
that
word gay again.
Yeah,
ever.
Surely,
exactly.
Let's get to a point where we don't even have to talk about it. But you know how it is when you first fall in love with someone like I have with Ted Olson, you put the rose-colored glasses. I don't remember any of these.
Only love brings humans into the light.
I don't remember anything else he's done. Kevin in D.C. on Mama on the Larry King last night. Hi, Kev.
Well, good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Good morning.
How is it possible that all these years that voice still instantly makes me stand very erect and at attention?
Oh, dear.
Well, you better hurry, because I find that it must be hormonal, but my voice is dropping. I'm going to be Arthur in a few weeks. That'll all have passed for you.
I've been listening a little bit on the conversation. I'm glad, you know, because we had a somewhat level's quarrel a few weeks ago about this issue. You know, I'm glad that you finally took Ken Melman on a little bit further, because I never understood that. You know, as a black person, I never want to see anyone discriminated against. And, you know, we're very psycho about, you know, who we call Oreos. And Ken Melman, to me, is the ultimate
Oreo. Yes.
Is there a gay Oreo? What's
Oreo?
A gay Oreo?
A Hydrox.
Yeah. but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I don't want to get too distracted on him, because I want to talk about your appearance today. But I'm just glad to see that you're bringing more passion, that you seem to be a little bit more where I was. Because to me, it wasn't about, you know, demanding someone come out when you want them to. It's about not being gay and then doing what he did to you guys. I mean, you know.
Well, that's the thing is, I'm not in a position, though, I'm not going to judge him. Because and Chris, you know this. Well, I shouldn't talk about it.
What?
There's been someone else in radio that apparently is very critical of me.
Yes.
When I chose to come out and.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so
know exactly who that
why
is.
I waited so long and blah.
But that's ridiculous. But you weren't. It's not like you were actively. I mean, you fought for gay rights and so on. So it's a completely different issue. But just let me quickly go to Larry King.
Yeah.
I want to know what was up with Penn. Was he just?
Yes, he mostly was criticizing my taste in movies, that American President was my favorite movie.
He acted like you were saying, you know, yay for the Klan or something. I mean, I could see if you said my favorite movie was My Little Pony or something.
Yeah, or Flubber or something.
Yeah,
I didn't say something ridiculous.
Tell me seriously, you know, behind the scenes, was he high?
I don't know. He was in Vegas. I was in New York. I don't know.
Well, just keep on showing up on these shows, because, I mean, it's still there, that lovely...
What?
See, that's a coincidence.
He was
saying
something nice about you. We had to cut him off.
Okay, whatever. 48 minutes after the hour. Right back. Fridays with Fugelsang continues on The Stephanie Miller Show.
My opinion is, you are nuts.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I want to do bad things.
It is these. And you can. All you have to do is tell me I'm pretty. 52, don't even have to mean it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere as we can continue with a Fridays with Fugelsang in the New York Bureau with
like
Mama.
You respect people who tell you you're pretty. That means you don't take them seriously anymore.
That means I've lost all respect for them.
Exactly.
Your taste sucks. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Breaking news this morning. The matron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show, Barbara Boxer, has pulled to a lead in a new poll in California. It shows her 49 leading Carly Fiorina, 49% to 41%.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I certainly hope there might be an invitation from Mama to... celebrate election night at the Barbara Boxer headquarters somewhere.
Do you think this could have anything to do with the descendants of Hewlett and Packard publishing an op-ed this week explaining how Carly Fiorina ruined their grandfather's business?
Oh, did they really?
Ran into the ground, yes. Yeah. The grandsons of both Hewlett and Packard wrote a big op-ed on why she wrecked their company.
Jim's been talking about how her Barbara Boxer's ads are a perfect example of hard-hitting ads, but they're not dirty. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, that are because they're just true. She is running. If that's your only experience, running a company and you happen to have run it into the ground, outsourced thousands of jobs and gotten fired, that's fair game, isn't it?
Yeah, but her hair is so yesterday.
The fact that she tied up a guy from Chippendales and forced him to worship Aqua Buddha is not even relevant in
it's
this race, in my opinion.
At all. No. Save that for Jack Conway.
So yesterday.
Yesterday. Who hasn't done that? I've done that.
Although some of us believe in yesterday.
There's some disappointing polling news coming out of Nevada. Sharon Angle is up by 4 points. So Sharon Angle's pulling ahead.
She's so attractive a candidate, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to deal with some of the teabaggers.
I talked to Ed Schultz, I told you a couple days ago, at dinner, and he still thinks Harry Reid's going to pull it out. I mean, he does have an unprecedented get-out-the-vote and ground campaign there. So that one, I think, is a toss-up. Can I have my Niner music in Alaska, meanwhile? Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I think we speculated yesterday that she threw a snow machine at Todd. Joe Miller has fallen to a last place. Sad trumpet. Lisa Murkowski at 34%. Democrat Scott McAdams at 29%. Miller, 23%.
Mm-hmm. I would vote for him.
And the Alaska chick fight continues. Apparently Sarah Palin just going after Lisa Murkowski again.
Yep.
At a rally. T and then a he.
Man, when Republicans attack Republicans.
Exactly. Let's go to Jerry in Chicago. Hi, Jer.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say before I get to what I called for, I was thinking about going to the movies this weekend, and I found something interesting for you. It's kind of a funny story. You see, life as we know it in the town of Washington, where that jackass and his Wall Street pals reside, will be completely upended this time next week and hereafter. Out of nowhere, boy, you watch the whole map turn red. It will be the greatest thing you ever saw, 3D.
You worked on that a long time.
You wrote that, Jerry.
I got it.
And that was delightful. Thank you, honey.
I did. The reason I called, I wanted to. I heard you the other day say, as a liberal, you think every gay person has to go out and vote. And as if you guys own the gays, that personally offends me.
Yes, I do. I personally own the gays.
I've owned a few.
Your party, you guys act like you guys are
the ones that he can pry off of Boy George's torture wall.
They're on Craigslist. You can have them.
No, I mean, it's smart of you guys to try to paint us as the rich white man party. I mean, it's a clever strategy, but the truth is...
Oh, it is. It's clever, and it's based on absolutely no evidence.
Sir, you're not the rich white man party. You're the party that's duped into supporting rich white men. It's kind of different.
It's just not...
All you're doing, my friend, is fighting to make our grandkids pay for a rich guy's tax cut now, and that's all your party's good at.
Okay, that's very clever. But you know what? The log cabin Republicans are the ones who have gotten to the courts overturned.
You're correct.
Ted Olson, as you were just talking about, are you kidding? I mean, this is, you are so off base saying that.
On what?
Just, my sister was a lifelong Republican, Stephanie. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I know a lot of gay people that are Republicans. So,
well, gay people can be selfish bastards too, sir.
Trust me on this.
Yeah.
Haven't you never known a gay person? Only cared about himself and his bottom line financially? Of course, gay people have a right and the freedom to be selfish, greedy bastards. God bless them. It's America.
That's so stupid. I don't even know where to start.
That's so stupid. No, what's stupid is not being a millionaire and fighting for a party that's only good at one thing, the redistribution of wealth to the upper 2%. That's stupid, my friend.
Yeah,
are you a millionaire? Well, in that case, fight for the Republicans. Otherwise, you're duping yourself and you're making your grandkids pay for a rich guy's tax cut today who doesn't need it.
Okay.
And there are a bunch of homophobes to boot.
I'm just so inflamed here. But
Jerry, what's happened to us? What's happened to our love? I thought we had.
I saw you. Said John is getting my nerves right now.
Oh,
but I'm sorry. I hate to throw that facts and logic at you, Jerry. I got nothing but love for
you're
you.
You're such a buzzkill to my love life, John Fugelsang.
I wanted to know if you wanted to do a bet. It's betting time. Want to do $10 bet?
Jerry, you always lose your bets with me. Which one is this now?
And Jerry's always good with a bet because he sends
you. He does.
Yeah.
He pays up.
That's right.
What's your bet?
Third time's a charm. And definitely Obama's energy, it's definitely turning red. This cumulus, I guess, wants us to vote for him because he's...
What's your bet? You got to be quick.
President. $20.10. You guys on?
For what? What are you betting on?
I'll take your state, too. We'll do my own.
All right, hang on. I got to hold him through the break. Right back on the Stephanie Miller.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. John Fugelsang in the New York studio with Mama for Fridays with Fugelsang.
I upset your Republican friend.
Oh, wait, he's still here because I have to. He has to lose another bet to me. Hang on a second. Right Wing Jerry in Chicago. Are you back? Hang on a second. There you are. Hi, Jer.
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Okay, Jer, so we're on record as you pretty much lost every bet with me in a disastrous way. So you want to make another bet on Tuesday?
Third time's a charm.
Here we go.
Okay. So that'll be $20.10. I want to bet my home state, your home state, and we'll do Nevada just because that's the most fun state.
Okay, we are voting just on the races in California. Where else? California, Illinois, and where?
And Nevada.
Okay.
So three separate bets. So $20.10. Janulis, who's running in my state. Now this guy is the least qualified person to run for the Senate since Barack Obama. The guy on your side, Alexei Janulis, the most least qualified person to ever run for the Senate since Obama. He's going to lose. He's going to get kicked. I don't know anyone who's voting for him. In your home state, Barbara Boxer is going to get bounced on her butt, her large butt.
Barbara Boxer's going to lose. Okay.
And then Nevada, Harry Reid. Oh, it'll be the greatest day when that man's not in the Senate anymore.
Okay.
Okay, so three separate.
So you're betting that every Democrat in those states are going to lose.
Meg Whitman.
Three separate bets. But no, the whole thing's going to go red. I mean, you're going to have a few wins. I mean, Christine O'Donnell's not going to win.
Sure.
And that's probably for the best.
But everything's going to go red. You're saying everything's going to go red. Meg Whitman is going to win as well. What's that?
No, I'm just talking about the Senate here.
We're just talking about these Senate races.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, every state has its own, you know, internal.
Okay. All right. So your bet is you're going to retake the Senate.
$20.10. No, I didn't say that. I bet three separate states. You know,
I sense hedging.
No. Alaska? He's been saying he's going to bet you $20.10 on each one of these three races.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'll take.
So this is a total of 20 divided by 4, 20, 40. $60? Are we betting $60?
$60.30.
Yeah, that'd be the total. That's right.
Okay, so it's $20 per state?
Yes, $20.
Okay, I'll take those bets.
Per race.
I'll take those bets.
I want to bet on my Social Security payments that'll go into the stock market.
like anyone, I may lose most of it in Vegas. That's the only race I'm not sure about, but okay. I'll take that bet.
Okay. Right,
okay.
Next week to
collect. Okay. Terrific.
All right, you should be a pilot.
All right, love you. Love you. Love you more than air. Can't breathe without you. Miss you already. Okay.
See, I didn't pick on them that time. I was very nice.
Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm.
If Sharon Engel doesn't win, will Jerry resort to Second Amendment solutions to rectify?
He may. We're going to have to man up over here. We're going to have to get our own private security force.
And what will Sharon Engel do with living off the government teat? Now she wants to destroy that.
She's going
to
get a pension from the government.
She'll rely on her second grade education.
She's going to get a pension from the government. She's going to be paid by the government. What is she doing? I mean, her head's going to explode.
So socialist.
Exactly. Oh, so last night, by the way, I was on Larry King, and of course, the breaking news, the big story, they're in your ear, in your IFP, going, this breaking news.
She got King's things all over her.
We're going live. Live, 70 to Kendrick Meek in Florida. Stephanie, that was nothing.
We got
what do you think?
Original cast of Growing Pains reunion tomorrow.
And I was like, Larry, not since I've been bumped from your show for Balloon Boy has there been such a non-story. Everyone's like, he's dropping out. And I was like, oh, no, he's not.
No, he's not dropping out.
He said, can you get my comedy music ready, please? He said, he did say that apparently Chris tried to talk him into getting out, which would not be the first time Chris has asked a man out. You know what I'm saying?
Tried to talk a man into something. Let's put it that way.
Charlie Crist, you're saying. Not Chris.
Jesus, Charlie Crist.
Okay, it sounded like you said Chris.
Peter
Crist? What? Peter
Crist
is running for something?
What? Sweet nothings in his ear.
Oh.
And it didn't work.
But Bill Clinton did not try to talk him out of the race, in spite of what you've heard.
No, that's what he said last night.
And they'd be crazy. These Democrats saying Meek has to drop out are nuts. They're nuts. Look, yeah. Rubio's got it, but if Kendrick Meek drops out, you're asking the Florida black vote to stay home. And that means enjoy Governor Scott.
Just the one moment, I mentioned this last night in the Florida debate on CNN, where Charlie Crist just flip-flops wherever, all over the place. It's just so obvious. He actually said, I think Iraq was a good idea. Who the hell thinks Iraq was a good idea?
I
still think it's a good idea we went in.
He flip-flops all over the place. Yes, he does.
Oh.
Especially when he's running naked
on
the beach.
Not if he's wearing Speedos.
But. Exactly right. Thanks. Jesus, Chris.
Do we know that he's ever worn Speedos? I'm just theoretically, if he were to wear.
No, I think he would wear the boxers and the black socks and the shoes on the beach, so he'd look more
straight.
Straight. Yeah. So, Marco.
Rubio.
Thank you. See, this is what I don't get too. So Sarah Palin was out talking about him, how mavericky he is.
Mm.
Mavericky, he's all mavericky and such.
Just like John McCain used to pretend he was.
He said, here's Jim where I read. I actually wish you could read this, but I'll do it. Hearing Marco Rubio, I'm thinking, should we consider this revolution? That it's where it's been proven now in this last year that really anything is possible in these campaigns where Marco Rubio started and kind of taking on the establishment and mavericky, going rogue, doing it. And I look at him and I think, we kind of started a whole bunch of this stuff, so very, very proud and encouraged by Marco Rubio.
Marco.
Why?
That's his rap name.
Punctuate.
What's better than taking on the establishment, I guess, is being the establishment and quitting because you're bored.
Yeah. But he's anything but a maverick. In fact, his agenda very closely aligns with the party's leadership. It's difficult. Think progress to the thing. They can't find any instances where he bucks the National Republican
That's
Party.
That's why he's so mavericky. That's exactly what they'd expect him to do also, too, in addition.
He rebels against being a maverick.
Here are the fun facts. His economic agenda consists almost entirely of cutting taxes. That's new. Primarily on corporations and the wealthy. He wants to cut the bureaucracy, relocate the bailout funds, end the stimulus and earmarks, pass a constitutional amendment to balance the budget. He proposed requiring federal tax increases be approved by 2/3 of Congress. He has, in fact, promoted private accounts for Social Security. He wants to freeze all discretionary spending in Washington.
Right.
He's repealing health care,
reinstate the Confederate
judicial
dollar.
Judicial activism, securing our borders,
prayer in schools?
Deep water drilling, blah.
Yeah, well, we're doing that anyway.
And he's going to bring Elian Gonzalez back to America, whether he likes it or not. He's got a SWAT team with some phosphorus, and they're going to bring him back.
He's going to bring him back himself in a pedal boat.
He will personally.
Just to get publicity.
He will bring Elian, he will chloroform adult Elian and bring him back here for freedom.
Oh, how do you like me now?
Sarah Palin also defending Glenn Beck. Media Matters, our friends over at Media Matters, David Brock.
Yes.
Urged Palin to condemn Beck in hopes, he said, of preventing right-wing activists from going too far in their frustration with the federal government. He said she needs to step up because she's a leader of the Republican Party of the conservative movement. She's a Tea Party favorite. She's the person in this country right now today who, in the national interest, just in the moment, to put partisanship aside, could pull this country back from the precipice of another Oklahoma City. Hmm. And that's what a real leader does.
Wow.
That's what we're asking. Palin, of course, laughed off Brock's call on Beck's show.
He's drinking the same Kool-Aid.
Yes, by comparing Beck to Lincoln.
What?
I go back to what Abraham Lincoln said about standing with anyone who stands right. I stand with you, Glenn.
I actually compare Charlie Crist to Abe Lincoln because they both had beards.
Oh, there
Wow.
Very interesting, but stupid.
All right, David in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show and the final countdown. Hi, David.
Oh,
David's talking to someone else.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, hi, David. How are you?
Hey, I got up early this morning and started calling in the South, talking about the Gulf of Mexico disaster, the BP disaster. And that's basically not a campaign issue down there. One of the more profound...
I know. They deserve a senator that wears adult diapers, for God's sakes, and sleeps
with
hookers.
Well, it's not Louisiana alone. It's Florida all the way over to Texas.
Yep.
So basically, if you think about a huge sweep, there's about 8 states there that every one of those congressional races, if they put that up as a campaign issue right now, every one of those Republicans would lose. Every one of those
Well, Charlie Sheen could get elected in Louisiana, apparently, on Tuesday.
I'm dead serious, though. These guys, they have the biggest campaign issue sitting right in front of their faces, and whether or not these Tea Party people are apologizing to BP. And basically, just putting it right on the line, are you going to sell out your country to BP for a simple... So, I've been on in Alabama, Louisiana, Kentucky, Texas, just before you. So, I mean, just lean on this as a campaign issue. The Democrats don't need to lose anything this year, especially using BP as a campaign issue.
Unfortunately, drilling has recommenced in the Gulf. The moratorium has ended.
The only politician to benefit from BP was Charlie Crist, and he blew it.
Yeah. Well,
in
yeah.
so many ways.
What?
Thank you. Oh. What? Okay, the president, what the hell? Who's Yolanda Adams? Tom Joyner was bad enough.
She's a bigger host.
Obama apologist? I don't think so.
She also reaches a certain audience, the same kind of audience that Tom Joyner reaches.
You're speaking code, and I don't appreciate it. Here is the president on somebody's show that's not mine.
I don't know why you would want to give your future away to somebody else.
Exactly.
Well, that's the argument for marriage.
If I don't have some support from Congress in the House and the Senate, then I can't do everything that needs to be done.
You know, Chris, if you were a clever producer, we would have just played those clips as if I was talking to him live and just said he's on my show. I could have just asked the question in advance. You could have played that sound clip. Oh, I know you don't have much time, Mr. President. Thank you.
That takes too much work. I was drinking.
We should try it again. Ask the president about giving away your future.
Okay, hang on a second.
Okay, ask him.
Let's Breitbart ourselves out of this.
Mr. President, I think the main thing this election about is not giving our future away to other people, don't you think?
I don't know why you would want to give your future away to somebody else.
Oh, yeah, I see you have to go. Thank you so much, Mr. President. I appreciate you coming on.
No, he has one more thing to say.
Ask him about getting Congress to work with him, Stephanie.
You need support from Congress, though, don't you, sir?
If I don't have some support from Congress in the House and the Senate, then I can't do everything that needs to be done.
All right. Thank you so much.
I have one more question.
Hey, listen, dude, thanks so much for taking time. I didn't mean dude.
That was the biggest thing in right-wing world yesterday.
Yes, the John Stewart called him dude.
Dude, yes. They went apoplectic.
Yes.
Oh, now they're very so respectful of the president
of course
and of the
they
office
are.
Of presidency. Is that what it is? Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get this straight. It's fine to have a picture of the president with a bone through his nose and watermelons on the White House lawn. But if John Stewart slips and says dude.
Right.
He didn't slip. In the middle of a joke, then it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Any questions?
Okay. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, we continue with more Fridays with Vehicles Saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've never heard such a bunch of penny, any, dime, a dozen, two-bit half-wits exaggerating their enemies and bellyaching over the tiniest, stupidest personal problem.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, witchy woman, see how high she flies. Ooh, witchy woman, she got the moon in her eyes.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah. Happy Halloween.
It is the Stephanie Miller
Where's
Show.
Where's the monster now?
Oh,
yeah, you have to.
I'm going to do that.
Chris, we need to fulfill our FCC obligation and play Monster Mash at some point.
Yeah, that'll come up in about a half an hour, I think.
Just like you got to play, you know, Christmas, Grandma got run over by
my reindeer.
Okay, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Damn
Michelle.
FCC and their rules.
And Keith Richards' version of Run, Run, Rudolph.
That's great.
Run, run, Rudolph.
What?
What?
Sorry?
What?
I don't think I've heard that.
Really? Oh, it's great.
Oh, God.
Michelle in Los Angeles with some Get Out the Boat tips. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there. There's this one organization that came up with this really great idea. They call it Trick or Vote, and it's trickorvote.org. And basically, you know, the most effective way to get people to the polls is to knock on their doors. Halloween is the one night everybody's expecting somebody to knock on their doors.
Hmm.
So this
oh, that's
is a great
clever.
Yes, okay. So so that's the first tip is trickorvote.org. And then the second thing is let everybody, you know, especially people who are kind of cynical about the election and stuff, all we need is four to win. Each person, if they just personally make, you know, take responsibility and make certain that four people get to the polls, check with them on election day, ask them, have they voted? You know, do they need a ride? But make sure that at least four people who you know personally get to the polls on Tuesday, and we win.
And you get free candy out of it, so there.
And yeah, we get our little I voted sticker, too.
Yeah,
the only problem is, what if all your Democratic operatives are in D.C. for a rally this weekend and can't knock on doors?
Yeah.
Oops. Thank you, John Stewart.
I see their devious plan now.
So I have a question. If my write-in ballot misspells Murkowski, does that mean Joe Miller gets to be senator?
You know, what are the rules with the write-in ballot? I know it's difficult.
Misspellings will be, you know, taken as they come. You know, they will have people in a room trying to...
How is a vote for Lisa Murkowski? They meant Joe Miller.
Murkowski with a C? We have to throw this one out.
They will have people in a room, much like they did during the 2000 election, determining what the intent was of the person.
Oh, and that worked out just fine.
Yeah.
John Fugelsang and I are still having our East Coast, West Coast rap war.
Yes.
It's a hostage crisis. He's trying to get me to move back to New York, and I'm trying to get him to move to L.A. Oh, here's some breaking news on my side.
So wind up in Kansas.
Manhattan's parks are dangerous. Loud, according to a new study.
What?
Oh, they had to do a study for that. Chris, this was my phone call to you every day walking home in New York. Anyway, I need you to get this out today. Okay, hang on a second. My point is, Chris, it literally is like a comedy sketch that I would call people from. They're like, I literally, when they walk through construction, a protest.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
And, like, six fire trucks going to something.
We have stabbings and pollution and noise. You know what we don't have in New York City? You know what we don't have? Kardashians. That's what we don't have.
Right.
Well, L.A. has 100% more Kardashian infestations.
John, you win that.
John, there are Kardashian nests in
just
L.A.
Just stay out of the West Side and you won't run into any Kardashians. That's
exactly
what I do.
I already told you. At least we have them quarantined.
Unless they're not
in certain
Africanized
areas.
Kardashians.
I'm going to move back as soon as someone offers me a non-embarrassing job.
Did you hear what Jim said?
At least they're not Africanized Kardashians. They're the really aggressive ones.
Yeah, they're really annoying and aggressive. Overall, here's the thing. Ours are quarantined here, and overall, whopping 98% of public spaces in Manhattan were found to have unhealthily loud. This new study found noise in public places throughout Manhattan, including several small parks, exceeds healthy levels, according to the New York Post.
Time for a power play on that.
What?
It's unhealthily loud.
Exactly. My friends are just like, you know what, call me when you get back to L.A. I can't hear you. He's like, what? Say again? What?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have our share of noise here. I have helicopters flying over my...
Oh, well, you live in celebutard territory.
Well. Yeah, it'll be harder for them to hear you when L.A.'s underwater because they broke off. Okay, you'll get trickier reception then.
Jay in East Bay, San Francisco. Hi, Jay.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Yes. I wanted to just start out with kind of a revamp of an expression I heard when I was a kid growing up. Where ignorance prevails, the Republican Party flourishes. And unfortunately, these guys are... I'm sorry?
Kidding. Go on.
Wait. No, go ahead.
I've been listening to a lot of the progressive radio lately, and I'm hearing a lot of teabaggers call in, and they're all starting out the same way. You guys are wrong, and this isn't true, but they don't offer any type of solution whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, America was safe in, you know, 2000. Then Bush scared everybody up and said, oh, it's orange level. And they all, you know, jumped on board with that. Then when they found out they'd been, you know, sold a bill of goods, they didn't like that anymore. Then the economy goes south. And now you've got the rubes who don't know who to trust anymore turning to every single lunatic on the air because they say, we're going to fix it. But they don't say how they're going to fix it. So I feel that Tea Party is the right idea. It's time for change, but we're the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, and these just vote for blind fury.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Pure undirected rage with no answers.
I didn't get his point, and that makes him an elitist, so I'm voting for Sharon Angle.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've known you for 4 years. And in that time, I've never known you to be shy about talking about anything.
How true is that?
Allergies.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34.
Are you okay?
Seth. Yeah, just get the, I can see on Skype, get the condoms off the ceiling,
we
get
the
beer cans out of there before Mama gets back on Monday.
Well, you were not on Skype until about 3 seconds ago. I'm just wondering if you're okay.
Oh, that's because
yes, she's okay.
See, there I am.
I know.
Magic.
Did she bang her eye again?
No.
You seem to do that every time you go to New York.
34 minutes after the hour. Fridays with Eagle Sign continues. David Bender of Ring of Fire joins us next hour, whom we love, to talk about all things midterm. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. In the meantime, Barry in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bear.
Hi, good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I may be wrong, but didn't these like people like these Tea Party asshats used to be called anarchists?
Yes, exactly.
Sort of. The anarchists, they're anarchists in the Tea Party, but you'll find anarchists at far right-wing events and far left-wing events.
Right.
And I did a benefit last year for 9/11 first responders.
I thought we cornered the market on disorganization, though.
Oh, no.
The Democratic Party.
I did a benefit.
Are we violent enough?
I did a benefit show at Cooper Union for the 9/11 first responders that was organized by the anarchists. Let's just say anarchists, not organized.
Really?
Not those who are shocking.
That sounds like the Tea Party people.
Yeah.
Exactamundo.
All right. Let's go to Richard in Chicago on the Tea Party as well. Hi, Richard.
Yes.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Hi. Go ahead.
I wanted to kind of off the soundboard of the other individuals talk about the Tea Parties. And for decades, I've struggled with trying to understand how conservatives, or in this case, your far-right conservatives, think. Because one of the things that is, as a progressive or liberal that we've always struggled with is when we present facts, they always ignore facts. They pay attention to what's driving them emotionally. And usually it's one issue type items. And I come to the realization that there's a tendency, and I bet you could prove, and I don't know if this is true, maybe somebody's already done it, but I think it should be done, or if there's some way to commission this, maybe it'll be my doctorate when I finish my MBA, is that I think you could prove statistically that the majority of the Tea Party, you can break up into two categories, a high-level and low-level functioning sociopaths. If you read the definition of a sociopath...
Oh, sure, Mr. Fancy Pants, with all your degrees, you liberal elitist.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, and isn't that funny now, speaking of elitist, which I love that term, because elitist, it's a question of the difference between, this is, I guess, is what's used in terms of psychology, of using white matter versus gray matter. In other words, the flight or fight mechanism, which is the emotional mechanism in your brain, which is governed by the amygdala in your brain, is the very thing.
The R complex.
Exactly. That's the white matter. The gray matter is the reasoning capacity. Sociopaths have a lack of connectivity between the two, so they react emotionally. So they have.
No, we don't. Shut up.
Just elitist.
Just for illustration purposes.
You snooty elitist. You got too many teeth.
Your elite science.
With all your teeth and your book learning. All right. I bet you this we're the only show that has said the word amygdala this morning.
Well.
All right. Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary, talking about the president going on The Daily Show.
When the president gets to talk about what he's done and sift through what people may or may not have heard, that it's a positive benefit.
I thought he was good on The Daily Show. He has a great sense of humor, but I thought he was trying to be serious, presidential.
If he had told jokes, they would have gotten on his case for telling jokes.
I know. And then, as you said, there's Dudegate is all that's going on in right-wing world now.
The president took offense at somebody calling him dude. Given the names that are hurled around this town, I hazard to guess he'd rarely leave the top floor of the residence every day for fear of being called hey guy.
I think it was very, very important for him to do this because with this, he is reaching an audience that does not watch any traditional news whatsoever.
I think so, too, although I'm no Yolanda Adams.
Who? Yolanda
I'm
Adams
so
is a
bitter
very
about
fine
him going on other radio
singer.
Shows.
That's Yolita Adams. Singer, that's Yolita Adams, isn't it?
Olita Adams,
that's
but Yolanda Adams is also a singer.
Okay.
No, you know, I mean, I think that it probably was a slip on Stewart's part, but it did come off disrespectful. I mean, it, you know, it was a little like, ooh.
At least you didn't. What should he have called him, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been better. Yeah.
John Stewart doesn't strike me as the kind of a person that would use sir, you know?
So, sure he would. He does all the time.
Yeah.
But sure not when he's making a joke.
Yeah, it's more of a... it wasn't addressing him as so much as it, dude.
Yeah,
come on.
dude, stay away from the you know the.
Listen, the right's making it about Dudegate because they don't want to talk about the fact that that show is clear proof that Obama is not the raging liberal they keep calling him. Yeah. The guy's a moderate. He's always been a moderate. John Stewart called him out on being a moderate, and the right wing doesn't want the discussion to be about the fact that Obama is quite moderate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like how about this breaking news? Does President Obama deserve credit for the fact that corporate profits have risen faster under him than any other 18-month period since the 1920s? Profits have surged 62% from the start of 2009 to mid-2010. It took Bush nearly 4 years to post the gains that Obama has managed in less than half the time.
Yep.
That's how bad he is for business, right? What a socialist he is.
Bailing out those corporations.
Yeah. Tim Kaine, DNC chair, talking about the economy.
It's that there's a clear choice. And so on the Democratic side, you've got a team that has worked in a very challenging time to take a shrinking economy and get it to be a growing economy again, to stop combat operations in Iraq, and to pass historic legislation like health care, equal pay for women, saving the auto industry. That's on our side. On the other side, you've got a whole series of candidates who are now painting a picture of a Republican Party that knows what they're against, but not what they're for.
Well put.
Boy, it's anybody's guess. As we were saying, it's hard to tell because everybody's doing psyops at this point. Tim Kaine with his predictions on Tuesday, DNC chair.
My goal has been recognizing that midterm cycles are tough, and the president and I talked about this in December of 2008 when he asked me to do the job. I want to make sure we hold on to both houses. And, you know, over the summer, I think the other guys felt pretty cocky they could win both. I think they're backing off of the Senate. And we're not taking anything for granted, but we feel like we got a great shot on the Senate. So now my effort is really focused on how to, you know, help our team field a winning effort to hold on to the House. And I think we're going to surprise some people.
Yeah, he said that Republicans are indulging in kind of a cockiness, dancing around before you get to the end zone, which, as evidenced by Jerry in Chicago, who just called with his, what did he say? It's a red, the whole country is going to turn red, and a tsunami, and a blah.
Sounds like a pogrom. You know, and now they're talking about the MSNBC.com had a big story yesterday about how there's a new meme out that sane Republicans are going to vote Democrat just to stick it to Tea Party because they don't want to have their party taken away by the lunatics.
Right.
A boy can dream.
I think the Tea Party, they may have climaxed prematurely.
Well,
beg your pardon?
Evidence. I'm just saying they're kind of like the teenage boy of
Dick Armey may have climaxed too early.
Yes, I think Dick Armey has climaxed too soon.
Well, Dick Armey's too opposed to gays in the military to focus on that right now.
I think Dick and his army were a little, you know, they were a little over-anxious, a little,
okay,
you know,
quick draw.
A little excited. We're going to take over. Oh!
I should have waited until November.
Oh, dear.
Sorry about that. Okay. All right, let's go to...
Every time Glenn Beck, like, misquotes Thomas Paine, there's just a massive around the country.
Janine in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. First, I just wanted to say I'm sorry I don't have a cool name like Ron Seal or Lavender Pitt.
That's all right. Those are just the radio names.
My one reason for calling is I just was dying to call on a Friday. I love John Fugelsang, huge fan, and I have to say he just puts my thoughts into words like nobody else can.
Well, thank you.
I love
he
my
completes
husband,
you?
But pardon?
He completes you?
He completes me. I have to say,
shucks,
I love my
you.
Husband. I'm happily married, but on Fridays, I love John Fugelsang just a little more. I can't help it.
She can't quit you.
Oh, thank you. Remember I'll be doing lots of teabagging jokes to balance out the cerebral part.
Remember that time when John Fugelsang interviewed Paul McCartney? That was awesome.
And my last comment, I just have to say, I'm here in Chicago, and there's a candidate here, Mark Kirk. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yes.
Running for Senate here. Live.
Neither has the military, but not in his opinion.
Exactly. And I just have to say the most desperate, shameless thing going on in the last week, he has recently changed his ads and has nicknamed himself Mr. Independent.
Sure.
Where in his ads, he's referencing about two times where I guess he had voted, you know, not with his party and thinks, you know, now all of a sudden he's Mr. Independent. It's just such a shameless, disgusting plug. And, I know it wouldn't make it out your guys' way, but I just had to get that out there.
All right.
So. Anyway,
all right, honey.
Thank you.
No, we love the stories from around the country. We know because we don't get to see all the ads, so we like to hear about the most egregious ads. Jill in Ithaca with a boner joke, which we never can get enough of those. Hello, Jill.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, thank you for being here last week.
We had the greatest time.
Yeah, and I was very proud of you. You had
did Bill Press
shoes.
Ever make it back? By the way, last time I saw him, he was face down in the gay bar with drinking apple teenies.
Yeah, I heard about that. I think I know which one, too. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, came back because I talked to him earlier this week.
Okay.
But, yeah, I loved your shoes. Do you remember which shoes you had on?
Which shoes I had on?
You had great shoes that night.
Oh, I had boots on. Yes.
Oh, they were boots? And you didn't trip. That's why I was so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill. That's kind of an anomaly for my appearances.
You have a low bar for being proud of Steph.
Absolutely, right. And as far as the boner, yeah, I guess we've seen out too much. I guess children are trying to catch up to him. They hit the pumpkin.
Wow, I wish you didn't have a crappy phone, but what about the boner? Say it one more time.
Can you whip that boner joke again?
Somebody call me. Wait. Let me try again. Go away, people. I said we haven't seen it much. Little children must be chasing him this time of year because they think he's a pumpkin.
I get it. An orange joke.
Yeah.
Oh, my then, Jill. Oh, thanks for calling, honey. Oh, somebody screwed up. Can you imagine her big debut on national radio and somebody's, oh, God, I heard you had something Miller calling you right now. Okay, you screwed up my joke.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And then he said, huh?
I bet how much you want to bet someone was hearing her on the show right now and called her to say, oh, my God, you're on the Stephanie Miller show. And then she just screwed up the whole show.
Yeah, that always happens.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
All right. 45 minutes after. You know, it's like people text me when I'm on Larry King. Like and I'm like, okay, yes, I'm talking. I can't talk now. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Fugle saying as we continue on the Stephanie Miller show.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's the Stephanie Miller show.
Zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and
Stephanie Miller.
They did a monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It got on in a flash. They did the monster mash.
Smash good.
It is the Stephanie Miller. Happy Halloween, everybody. It's coming Sunday. Okay, 50 minutes after the hour. I hate Halloween.
Why?
Why?
You're one Dr. Demento moment
for
you.
Why do you hate
here?
Halloween?
I don't know. What's the point of it? I don't.
What's the point of it?
To have fun. You just don't know how to have fun, Stephanie. That's your thing.
For real?
Damn kids won't even come to my door in my neighborhood.
Okay, now you're bitter.
When you moved out to the studio, you'd think with all the empty Matus bottles and Whippet canisters I found, you would know how to have fun.
No, Chris, I'm the weird lady. I'm the weird elderly shut in with the dogs that they think are going to give out either raisins or apples with razor blades in them. You know what I mean? I'm that. They avoid my house.
Or pennies. Even
more
pennies.
They think I smell musty.
Mm-hmm.
Here, have a penny and a raisin.
The sad thing is you probably would.
But they are going to partay in West Hollywood. Mayor John of West Hollywood on the phone. Hi, Mayor John.
Hi, Stephanie. We'll show you how to have fun on Halloween in West Hollywood on Sunday night.
Because, I know what that involves, my friend.
Yeah, West Hollywood's Halloween is a carnival, no children allowed, and you can bring your own box of wine and join the rest of us.
I probably should go as a box of wine, shouldn't I?
That would be awesome.
That's going to be a great costume. We're expecting lots of Chilean coal miners. We're expecting lots of tea bags. We can hardly wait. And we're also celebrating the 35-year anniversary of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which was born in West Hollywood 35 years ago at the Tiffany Theater.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
How many would you estimate? How many Christine O'Donnell's and Sarah Palin's?
Rocky Horror Picture Show anniversary with all the characters on stage, and we're going to have the main stage done up like the light show at the end of the movie, and it's going to be fantastic.
Very cool.
Awesome. How many Christine O'Donnell's and Sarah Palin's will it be?
400,000 people, 1%, probably about 4,000.
Yeah.
How do I tell the difference between Christine O'Donnell costumes and Snooki costumes?
Snooki's more orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, Mayor John, I went to a fancy do last night for the American Foundation for Equality, you know, with Ted Olson and Ken Melman was there.
Great organization. And Bruce Cohen, I know, good friend of mine, good friend of yours, very supportive of that. Yeah.
No, it was awesome. It was great talking to Ted Olson. But I talked to Ken Melman, and I'm just curious what the gay community's feeling is about Ken Melman, because I understand that he's actually, you know, been very helpful now, you know, in marriage equality. And so I congratulated him on coming out and welcomed him and yada, yada. But, you know.
And thanks for getting all those homophobes elected, Ken.
Yeah, it's tough. He's still a Republican. I don't get it. I asked him. I said, aren't you appalled by the sort of, array of homophobes the Republicans have put forward in this cycle? And he tried to go back on this old, oh, well, it's really more about small government. It's like, well, yes, but they're also giant homophobes.
Yeah, it's always been a struggle, I think, for me about the whole gay and Republican thing. But I think now the gay Republicans are going to probably try to end up saving their party from the tea bags, is my guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they make stronger relationships with the moderates in the party, I have to give it to them. I'll still try to beat them every election day.
Right.
Well, you know, I am not prepared to judge Ken Melman on when he came out or how, because, you know, people did that to me. And it's not that, but I think it's the fact of still being a Republican, as I've said, you know, the enemy he's sleeping with is not a man, it's the Republican Party.
Yeah, very true. Hey, you know, if people come late to the party, that's okay. We're just going to send you out for more wine and munchies. That's all.
Nice.
You just don't get quite as nice a toaster oven. All right. Mayor John, have fun on Halloween, honey. Talk to you soon.
Happy Halloween. Thank you.
Thanks, baby. All right.
Bye-bye. Anyone read the Michael Moore thing about called a Boot to the Head?
No.
Article? Yeah, it's about Tuesday and what we can expect if Republicans win.
First of all, by the title of it, I'm guessing it's not pretty. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just read a little section of it. Make no mistake about it, my friends, a perfect storm is gathered of racists, homophobes, corporatists, and born-agains, and they are on fire. If they win on Tuesday, they plan to show no mercy. They will not speak of bipartisanship or olive branches or tolerate filibuster threats. They will come in and do the job of the mandate they'll perceive the electorate will have given them. They will not fart around for 2 years like the Democrats did. They will not search for compromise or find middle ground. They will not meet you halfway on the playing field. They know that touchdowns aren't scored on the 50-yard line.
That's right.
Yep. Nope. Exactly.
So more
Jim,
farting around is what he's asking for.
Vote.
As Joe Biden would say, Jim. Seriously.
All right, come on, bitches, get it together.
Seriously, bitches. Bitches, I'm talking to you everywhere. Get it together. Get it together in Washington State, where Senator Patty Murray is running, whom we love.
I know who I am. I know what I believe in. I know that I fight for every family in our state to make sure they had what I had when I was growing up here. A country at their back, a country that understood their needs, and a voice in Washington, D.C. that's going to fight for them.
Marco.
Romeo.
Rossi.
No. See, you're wrong this time. Oh. Marco Rossi.
Oh.
Rossi.
Oh. Sorry. I had a boot in my head.
Patty Murray's opponent.
Yes. Check this out.
We're going to a lot of places where they just never even see candidates for the U.S. Senate. And that's how part of the grassroots enthusiasm that we're finding. But it takes a lot of work to get there, but it's worth it because you find out on the ground what it's really going to take to get people back to work.
Oh, by the way, could I have my hypnosis music, Chris? Because, Jim, as you can tell, they're all grassroots. It's all grassroots, these candidates, all the Republicans, the Tea Party. And they're all about small business because they're supported by the Chamber of Commerce.
Grassroots.
Chamber of Commerce. Small businesses everywhere.
What could be more American than the Chamber of Commerce?
It's not giant corporations.
No.
Okay.
Look over here. It's shiny and happy.
By the way, Rand Paul did finally see the footage of that woman getting stomped on, and he wants you all to know no private property was harmed.
Oh, good, good, perfect.
It's all okay.
Perfect.
Right,
Alan
it was a public
Canada.
Sidewalk in which her skull was crushed.
Yeah.
So that's
Alan in Canada. Oh, by the way.
How are you?
Good. Hang on one second, Alan. I got to, you know, it's interesting, just by way of contrast and compare, Jim. Did you hear this one, Eric Cantor? A Democrat was arrested at Eric Cantor's campaign event. He was at a local coffee shop. It was described as a friendly event where voters could meet. The congressman and Republican leader, John Taylor, a member of the Louisiana Democratic Committee, and his wife RSVP to the event and showed up with a sign for Cantor's opponent. They were asked to leave and then arrested.
He made fun of his Adam's apple, didn't he?
Yeah, but you just show up with a sign, and that's considered,
right.
You know.
That's treason.
Yeah,
and it's not in the First Amendment.
They knew they were coming.
It didn't say that in the First Amendment. It didn't say you show out a sign and a Republican.
So you deserve, whether you're an Eric Cantor, Joe Miller, or a Rand Paul event, you deserve to either get arrested or have your head stomped.
Yeah.
If you show up with an opposition
or
sign.
Or if you ask Sharon Engel a question.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alan in Canada, real quick. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was a first-time caller. I've actually survived death pedals up here in Canada. So
good. Good. Good job.
But I'm just so amazed just watching from up here, like, how bad your media is.
And, oh, God, yeah.
And it just gives the Tea Party so much credit and giving, like, mm-hmm. Sharon Angle, somebody like Sharon Angle or Joe Miller, that they would even be competitive in the coverage they have of Christine O'Donnell. I just find just amazing.
We haven't had a free press in a long time.
At least we have freedom.
I speak for all of us when I say, what is that all about? What is it about?
It's about freedom, which Canadians don't have.
And it's about Chesterfields.
50.
Oh, sorry, it's spilled moose head on the Chesterfield. Pass me a serviette, eh?
Equal time for morons. It's right. The media way.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. It is a Fugelsangian Friday. John Fugelsang live in studio here with Mama on her last day in New York City. The Mooks, of course, back in L.A.
Hello.
Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward. You can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com. You can see Mama's appearance on Larry King Live up there on the video section.
Yep, and
and
also
I do
up on
look like a broken-down old burlesque dancer. Both of my false eyelashes are sort of partially glued.
Right now you do. Not last night you didn't.
Well, I've been battered by Penn Jillette all night for my taste in movies for some reason.
What did he say?
See if he ever gets invited to Rob Reiner's house with me. Who doesn't like American President?
What's his problem with the film?
I don't know.
It's not a great movie, but it's a really good movie.
I don't know. It made him go insane.
No.
I'm just
all
so
right.
Sick of the sand quote. I don't. I really.
Yeah, I could go really? My entire life without hearing that again.
Well, people do. They do question. Drink the sand, not because they're thirsty. All right. Now. All right. What?
No.
All right. David Bender from Ring of Fire coming up in just a few minutes to talk all things midterms. Let's see. Breaking. This is, I guess, it's Crookstack. We have some Crookstack this morning.
Oh, finally.
That we need to. Yes, it's Crook Funstack. This is a very disturbing headline. A missing baby found in sandwich.
Yes.
I've had a fly in my soup before, but that would be very disturbing.
It's either a very big sandwich or a very small baby.
Do you get your money back, or what the hell happens there? Do you call the waiter? A happy ending on the Cape as a missing infant is found safe and sound. Yarmouth police reported that 11-month-old Kia Fielding had been kidnapped by her father. A short time later, she was found in Sandwich, Massachusetts.
I was going to say.
Gotta go for get all the details, because otherwise it's so
disturbing. Even a foot long won't cover it.
No.
Okay.
Subway makes these great baby sandwiches, though, with the flatbreads.
Oh, yeah, low-carb. Low-carb
fantastic.
Baby sandwiches.
Jared
yeah.
loves it.
Yes.
This one is a catfight Crookstack. Two blondes, one dress, recipe for catfight. Drinks were thrown and blood was spilled when two blondes clashed in a bar about who looked better in a silver dress. A jury has been told.
A silver dress?
Two blondes crossed paths in the toilets at the former Temperance Bar. I guess that they were not very temperate that night.
No, they were not.
They were drunk and disorderly. In Wellington District Court, Ms. Clapham denied telling Masters that the dress looked better on her. Masters was first to throw a drink when the man met in the toilets. Ms. Clapham retaliated and threw her vodka on Masters. Masters then smashed her tall glass over Mrs. Clapham's head.
Wow.
Which resulted in the aforementioned blood. She agreed that she had referred to Masters as a moron during a Facebook conversation previously.
See, Facebook, it's the root of all evil.
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and one last one. Australian man charged with indecent exposure argues his genitalia not big enough to warrant a charge.
Oh, the humanity.
Guess you won't be performing in puppetry of the penis.
No.
The
man who exposed his...
That thing.
A man who exposed his genitals in a pub told police he shouldn't be charged because he only had a small appendage. He dropped his pants in view of patrons of the Southern Hotel.
Okay, well, it's a misdemeanor, I guess.
Yeah. I love this part. Several people took photographs. Oh, look, honey.
Well, they really went down under.
Hey. Oh, look. Get a picture of that penis. Regardless, he was charged with drunken disorderly, perhaps fearing his evidence wouldn't stand up in court.
Wow.
Because there's parts of Australia he can run on that.
That's funny. Wow. Okay. All right, let's go to one. Let's take one on midterms before Right Wing World. Bud in Naperville. Hey, Bud.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I just wanted to let you know that you don't have to watch the awful political ads or even watch Fox News to entice you to vote for a Republican candidate. We just got a letter through earlier this week from our insurance company, Aetna, that said that basically my wife's working, I'm actually unemployed, but my wife's insurance premiums are going to go up because of the Obama health reform. And the reason that they actually give in the letter...
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying.
The reason they give in the letter is...
Listen, they raised... Okay, go ahead.
It is because of the fact that they had to add... They're now having to add their kids to the premiums up to the age of 26. So because of that, specific change, sorry, I'm a bit nervous, is why they're actually putting up the premium. So if you consider somebody who's actually independent-minded or, like, you know, not necessarily thinking of voting, now what they're going to do is, like, they're going to say, well, Obama's actually said that my insurance premiums won't go up, my insurance won't change, but now it's going to go... it's actually going to go and change, so they're probably more inclined to go and vote against the Democratic candidate.
The problem is that would be unfortunate because, as you recall, insurance companies raise premiums precipitously long before this ever got passed. And this is the problem, is that, you know, insurance companies are going to continue to try to, now they're going to go, oh, well, it's because of Obamacare. We got it. Now we have to. You know, our previous 506,000% increase was not enough for us to make a living.
You're saying that corporate greed is going to get worse, but we can blame Obama for it? Is that what you're saying? I smell a 2012 strategy.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Oh, Ed Rollins on the Situation Room on former President Bush.
George W. Bush, who most people saw sitting as the general manager of the Texas Rangers watching ball games before he became governor. She's been a governor. I think any time you can get on TV and you can be in your own environment, it's a positive thing. I think anybody that underestimates Sarah Palin in a Republican primary is fooling themselves.
Oh.
He's still crawling across broken glass for helping Perot in 92.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Believe me, there's no one more praying that Sarah Palin enters this race than Democrats.
Yeah. Well, I think he was talking about her influence in primaries, which we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
If Alaska has any indication.
Has she appeared with Sharon Engel?
Yes.
Okay, good, because that one she'll be bragging about.
Yes.
The rest...
Steve Hayes on the Britt Baer on the Obama on the Daily Show.
Look, I think the problem he faced last night is that the audience was laughing at him, not with
they
him.
Weren't.
So he says, you know, Larry Summers did a heck of a job, and the audience laughed.
Well, yeah.
And they were cheering for Mitt Romney.
They were laughing because it was what
Comedy
Bush
show?
Had said.
Because what?
It was what Bush had said, you know, about
right.
Romney.
Yes.
Of a job.
Yeah.
That's why.
And that's what he meant. I wouldn't use that particular phrase.
Right. They weren't laughing at him.
They were laughing at Bush.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Glenn Beck on the TV.
Tonight, I want to focus on why we are voting the way we are voting. Because Americans are not stupid. They get it. It just takes us a while. We have to get kicked in the head once in a while. You know what I mean? It's like with World War II. It's the same thing every time.
What?
There's a monster growing. Hitler's growing over in Europe, and we're like, okay. After years of it, we're like, okay, wait a minute. What's going on again? And then we just put our pants on, and we get the job done. Well, that's what's happening now. America's waking up.
That Obama is Hitler. Yeah.
Yes.
Is that what that is? It sounds like an orgy of non sequiturs.
His point is that we're waking up that Obama is Hitler.
And by the way, the isolationists were Republicans at the time.
Yes.
Didn't want to get involved in foreign wars.
Oh, Jim, you with your German history
you
and
with
your
the
facts.
Logic and the facts and the knowledge and wisdom, Jim.
I've lived in Germany and I actually know what happened and blah, blah, blah.
I just want to say that somewhere in hell, Hitler is furious at these teabaggers for drawing his mustache on a black guy, but he'll tell them when he sees them.
Didn't they realize I wouldn't shake Jesse Owens' hand? What does the guy have to do?
Uh-oh. Are you okay, John? Do you need a hot
seat? It's so funny I choked on a pretzel for old time's sake.
That was, see, much like what Jim Ward does, that was both funny and true. Yes. Hitler wouldn't shake Jesse Owens' hands.
That's right.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh on the former President Bush.
George Bush, 43. His memoirs are due on November 9th, but somebody's beat that embargo, and there's a summary, or soon will be, on the Drudge Report. Ladies and gentlemen, I can reveal it. I've seen some of this. Mm-hmm. It ain't bad. Ooh. In fact, it will remind you, as it did me, of when we had a president who loves America.
Oh, God.
If that's what you do when you love somebody. He only beat us because he loved us.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. Oh, dear Saudi God. Arabia. Must we? Hey, Jim, how about some comedy from Dennis Miller?
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
I think that Bernie Madoff will be furloughed for Election Day and will serve as a Democratic poll watcher in Searchlight, Nevada. And in spite of that, I think that Harry Reid's going to go down to defeat, because at this point, Reid just looks like an old swifter that sucked up too much dirt over the years, and they want a clean floor, so they're going to try something else. I would encourage Sharon Engel to push it out to 3 to 4 points, though, because if she doesn't,
she's there.
This is going to be the biggest heist since Ocean's 11.
Vegas.
Cultural reference here, Chachi.
I
want to do a benefit show for a candidate who doesn't get any of my jokes.
Okay. Wowee.
So the tundra winds of on Miller's radio show?
Yeah.
We're all old enough to remember when he was funny.
Yes.
Yes. That's when Rick Overton was writing for him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Want to hear some inside radio gossip?
What?
Somebody told me that after his first day on the radio show, he came out of the studio and said, "We got to go to this again tomorrow." Yeah, you can do it every day.
I love TV people who go and try and do
without
radio.
A bunch of Emmy-winning writers.
I keep talking for hours.
It's so the only funny cute.
Where's my teleprompter, babe?
How many times can I say, babe,
Chachi? The only funny thing about Miller on Fox is when O'Reilly steps on all of his punchlines.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they're so hard to figure out where they are.
I know.
All right. When everyone was talking about that, Sarah Palin, I guess, desperately trying to find a place where she would appear to have gravitas.
Yes. And that place spoke
with Mary Hart.
Oh, Entertainment Tonight.
Wow. Yeah, Snooki from Jersey Shore was unavailable to interview her.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. She spoke with Mary Hart about whether she should run for president.
You know, I have not decided what I'm going to do in 2012. I don't think any of the potential candidates have. I think that still it is too early for anybody to get out there declaring what their intentions are. For me, Mary, it's going to entail a discussion with my family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A real close look at the lay of the land, and to consider whether there are those with that common sense, conservative, pro-constitution passion, whether there are already candidates out there who can do the job, and I'll get to be their biggest supporter and their biggest helpmate if they will have me, or whether there's nobody willing to do it and to make the tough choices and not care what the critics are going to say about you, just going forward according to what I believe the priority should be. If there's nobody else to do it, then of course I would believe that we should do this.
Wow. Oh, yeah, of course no one else. Of course no one else will run this year, I'm sure. If no one... What kind of ego does that take? If no one else will do it, I will. Oh, yeah. I'm sure this will be the year that no one decides to run for president, and you just have to, because clearly you're the most qualified.
Mary Hart should have interrupted her at some point to have her take a breath.
Well, that's the
point. Interrupt her where? I thought she was pregnant again. She missed 5 periods. Look, it takes a lot to make me miss John Tesh, and she did it. So, props to her.
That was a joke about punctuation and your popo. Yay for John Fugle thing. That was fun. Okay.
And your what?
John
okay,
Tesh?
19 minutes after the hour.
It's not tush. It's
shush. Tesh.
Madhouse.
I know. What?
19 minutes after the hour. David Bender from Ring of Fire coming up as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've never heard such a bunch of penny, any, dime, a dozen, two-bit half-wits exaggerating their enemies and bellyaching over the tiniest, stupidest personal problem.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour, last day in the New York Bureau. We'll be back with Mooks in L.A. on Monday. So, Chris, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money,
yep,
is sitting right to my right.
I heard that.
Staring at me, plotting my death, as always.
Yes.
Sadly for him, a witness here.
He likes your shoes.
Yes.
Yes, does he?
He did. He was one of the only straight men at the equality event last night that told Mrs. Ted Olson how fabulous her shoes were.
Did he use the word fabulous?
He did.
Oh.
He said, your shoes are fabulous.
Nothing wrong with that.
I guess not. It is a word.
All right. In his free time, though, from trying to kill me for the life insurance money, he is also the president of the T.J. Martell Foundation, which is a fabulous, it's a, for, you know, leukemia, cancer, and AIDS. So mm-hmm. he actually does good things,
right,
too.
Yes, he does.
Julia sent me the breaking news, which is hilarious, because, as you know, he made me walk the red carpet with him, and I told him that no one would care.
Yeah.
Because no one knows who I am, and it would be embarrassing. And Julie writes, sadly, Mama, the 5 minutes of red carpet video fails to show even your leg.
Well, see, it's hard for...
Oh, as the last red carpet thing I did, they did show just my leg.
Yeah.
Yes, next to my friend Shelley Wright, who they were trying to get a picture of, and they were just asking me to get the hell out of the frame.
Stephanie, over here. Stephanie, could you move out of the frame, please?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stephanie, could you step away from Shelley, please? Can you get away from her so we can get actually a good picture?
Well,
yes.
Here's my, it's hard for radio people to walk the red carpet because nobody knows who you are.
Thank you. Well, break out the tiny violin because this gets even worse. So this is the actual, he probably hasn't even seen this. The T.J. Martell Foundation for Leukemia, Cancer, and AIDS Research celebrated its 35th annual awards gala on Wednesday, October 27th at the New York Marriott Marquis, raised a total of $1.45 million. Awesome. Artists Enrique Iglesias, Three Doors Down, Kenny Loggins, Charlie Daniels performed for the crowd of, wait for this now, for the crowd of music and entertainment leaders, business and media executives, and celebrities. I kid you not. Other attendees included radio host Stephanie Miller. I met a bunch of other people that you've never heard of.
And
so
Danny
I don't
Bonaduce.
Actually fall into celebrities. Or leaders. Or anybody in the entertainment industry.
Other attendees and catering staff included.
Other attendees and busboys included Stephanie Miller. We were instructed by the president of T.J. Martell to mention in this press release.
We were contractually obligated.
We are contractually obligated to mention that other attendees included broken down old radio.
Balancing out the celebrity
someone
scale.
Someone we're told has a radio show somewhere. Oh.
At the other end of the fame spectrum.
Blanche,
come
it's
on,
time to
give
go.
It up for Mama and her
yeah.
pathetic little life.
Blanche,
oh,
it's time
heaven.
To go.
You know, he's involved with real radio celebrities like Tom Hartman as well. Lori in Chicago went to the Tom Hartman debate last night. Hi, Lori.
Yes. Hello, it's Lori from Chicago, a.k.a. the Joe Wilson of the Tom Hartman debate. Mr. Michael Medved was spouting off names of long-term politicians that need to be booted out of office, Pelosi, Reid, Boxer. And in the middle of spouting that off, I yelled out as loud as I could, "What about Boehner?" And Mr. Medved was silenced for about 5 seconds.
Wow.
And my newfound progressive buds and friends all around me applauded me, high-fived me, and it was just a blast. It was so therapeutic being around a group of progressives. And the cool thing was the teabaggers on the other side, you know, got to see, you know, what progressives are energized. Progressives, you know, they aren't the only vocal people. It was a very
yes.
spirited debate. You know, it was a lot of fun. But
you know, no one has probably been that startled to be hit in the head with a boner since one of Charlie Sheen's latest dates. What?
What do you mean by that?
Poor Charlie Crist. What? I didn't know which way to go with that joke. I didn't know which way to go, and it just became a whole mishmash. All right.
It was a monster mash.
It was a great job. Michigan.
29 minutes after the hour. Ring of Fire's David Bender next to talk about all things midterm on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's one.
A witch?
Yes.
Shep, you just never learned to spell.
I am Stephanie Miller. I'm a witch, and I am God, the God of Hellfire. And I bring you David Bender of the Ring of Fire. Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, sir. Are you? We're in the final countdown. Are you all a Twitter? It's just it's so exciting, isn't it?
Let's see. I try not to Twitter. I try not to be a twit, actually, because there's so many of them running around. It is very exciting. It is also a little frightening. And so I want to tell you, I have a solution, because this tsunami that we keep hearing about, the tsunami that's coming.
The Republican tsunami, the Democratic wipeout, the bloodbath.
All of those metaphors, I have built an ark. Okay?
And should we all get in there with two of our animals?
Well, we can, actually, because it is true. You don't like to sail. If you would, you could come with us. We're doing this progressive cruise, and you can come with us. I will save you.
The progressive thank you, honey.
Cruise is leaving in February, and we are not coming back.
What, David, what's your take? Because obviously, I've been saying this for a long time, but, you know, obviously a lot of these races either tightening, the Democrat pulling ahead, you know, one of the big, you know, indicators we were told is California. And Barbara Boxer, the new poll showing her 8 up, obviously it looks like Jerry Brown is maybe 13 points ahead.
Yes.
California, and remember, we've seen these polls before. Remember the polls that showed Barack Obama ahead in the California primary, ahead of Hillary Clinton? We've seen polls. At this point, I'm not sure what polls matter.
Right.
The only thing that is going to matter. Now, here's what's interesting. We've seen this increase in early voting. It's been going on now for every election cycle. It's up to about 30% of the vote. It could get as much as 40% of the vote that is early voting. Mm-hmm. So election day is no longer a day. It is now a week, three weeks, a month.
Right.
And depending on where people are in the country, and the polls have started in at different times around the country, we can begin to get a measure of what the turnout is. Now, in places like, for example, Iowa, where we're hearing that, you know, the Republicans are going to take some of the House seats, and it's a Senate race and a governor's race, turns out Democrats are voting in big numbers. And so, you know, all of these forecasts may not come to pass as the pundits would have you believe. On the other hand, in places like Florida and Pennsylvania, the early numbers aren't great.
Right.
So it is hard to tell. California is always going to be if we don't go out on the water, we have to all come to California. Every progressive, you are now invited to come to California. There will be free marijuana for everyone.
Looks like it.
It's a pot in every pot, I think.
David Bender.
here's the deal. California probably is going, I think that's right. We're seeing numbers that show outside the margin of error for Jerry Brown. You know, here's what really happened in that race, and this is something that I hope we can learn from. We saw it in New Jersey, Steph, with John Corzine. He spent a huge amount of his own money trying to get reelected, and it ultimately worked against him. Because people look at that and say, you know, the more he spent, the less I like him.
Yep.
And that's what happened with Meg Whitman.
And Linda McMahon, I think.
Uh-huh. And the Yankees.
Well, that's always been true with the Yankees. all of that is to say there may be, coming out of this election, there may be a chance to say, and you already heard it from the president, you've been hearing it from Democrats, they're planting the seed to talk about money and politics when this is all over. Because that can have a blowback effect. I think that too much of a bad thing ultimately is going to work against them. They may be able to buy, you know, huge amounts of Karl Rove media. That may be happening here, and it is. But ultimately, people are going to turn against that because they get sick of it. And they see through it. Now, in the short term, it could work. In the long term, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be on Larry King with Karl Rove last night, but I think probably he wouldn't agree to be in a segment with me because I would start by saying, why aren't you in prison again? before I respond to that. I mean, it's...
The Broad March.
Yeah.
Yes. Tell me again why you haven't been executed for treason. Anyway, so it's going to be, but boy, I mean, it can't, I know it sounds like so trite and oversaid, but it really is at this point all about turnout. Like you say, at this point, polls, I don't know, it's literally going to be about ground game now, right?
It is about ground game, and one of the things that, you know, we saw the president go on The Daily Show this week. We know that Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert are gathering. God knows what they're gathering, but they're gathering people, and I think it's important that we realize that young voters who turned out in such huge numbers in 2008 had never seen this process before. They'd never seen what Stephanie Sadler, you and I have grown up watching, which is making sausage, how you know, painful it is to see the legislative process. So it would be understandable for a lot of these young people to say, you know what, this is awful. Who wants to be a part of this system? And the president has been trying. The message is, look, change happens, but it does not happen overnight. And if those folks stay engaged, which is what happened with FDR, they voted for FDR in that first term and they became Democrats for 50 years. If these same Obama young folks stay engaged and stay committed, ultimately, we may lose this election, but we're going to win in the long term. And that's what this is about. It is It is actually keeping our country, not taking it back, but keeping it. And
yeah.
I think that is absolutely still doable.
I mean, it sure is getting scary out there. And I don't remember an election cycle where you've got, you know, somebody stepping on a woman's head, you know, people's private security force arresting somebody. And by the way, did you see the NPR got a bomb threat? I mean, you know, like that didn't come from all this right-wing rhetoric about Juan Williams.
I wish we could cut out the middleman. If we could have Rand Paul stepping on Sharon Engel's head, if we could just skip all of these handlers and get them stepping on each other, then we would.
If Linda McMahon could have to get them all together in a ring.
Yeah.
There it is. I'm feeling a reality show, but oh wait, Sarah Palin already has one.
That's right.
David, to what degree do you feel, that we've heard a lot of Democrats say, I'm just disgusted, I'm staying home, I'm voting green, I'm voting Republican, I don't care, you know, to what degree do you think that is real or just, you know, a fit of pique
I don't think it's voting Republican. I don't think it may be staying home. The thing that we're really seeing, Steph, is that Democrats are going to turn out, and that number is holding solid. 85-90% of Democrats voting for Democratic candidates and turning out in good numbers. What we don't see is independents. Independents who had been heavily for Barack Obama 2-1 are now heavily for Republican candidates. And that's where this election is being fought. It's for that middle. I've always hated this idea because here's the problem. The reason that independents are not looking to Democrats is they don't know what they stand for. And if Democrats had taken a strong position about, you know, let's take health care, for example. When that phrase Obamacare was introduced, instead of people pretending that it didn't happen, they should have said, yeah, we do have Obamacare. Isn't that wonderful? The president should have embraced that term instead of letting it become a pejorative.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's where we have fallen down. And everyone knows that.
Here's the other issue, as you say. I mean, some of these races are going to be so tight. One of the stories, this has gotten personal for me, is that gay activists saying they're going to stay home. And for the life of me, I cannot understand that. I was at this, benefit for the Foundation for Equality last night with Ted Olson, and it could not be a clearer choice between a pack of rabid homophobes and somebody, while imperfect, is working for gay rights.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, on the other hand, look at the fact that, and I mean, this is ironic, and I feel about it as you do, that it is viscerally painful to watch this reaction, but who is it who has been suing the federal government? It's been the log cabin Republicans, the gay Republicans, are suing to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and it is right. Now, I agree with you 100%. John Boehner, Sarah Palin, these folks are homophobes, but it is... The problem is, again, it is this incrementalism. People don't see it. They're looking for
let me get your reaction. As a gay man and a really keyed in political person, you know, I thought this was actually significant. Is, you know, Obama said, first of all, because you just brought up the log cabin Republicans, he asked the log cabin Republicans to help him win between 2 and 5 Republican votes for the repeal of the measure in the Senate. I mean, I think in many ways he said, you know, you should be heckling the other side. Help me. He indicated, he told the group at a meeting, you're financing a very successful, very effective legal strategy, and yet the only thing you really need to do is make sure we get 2 to 5 Republican votes in the Senate. And I said, you know, get me those votes. Go ahead. Sorry.
They don't exist. They're not there. those Republican votes are not there. And so, you know, this is again, look, the president's right to point that out. But the problem is, for all practical purposes, there is not one single Republican vote for anything that this administration,
which is why we got to get out and vote. You can't possibly want to put more Republicans in. Let me get your, because I thought this was pretty huge. The president obviously said his opinion on gay marriage is evolving. He said, I have been to this point unwilling to sign on to same-sex marriage, primarily because of my understanding of the traditional definitions of marriage, but I think you're also right that attitudes evolve, including mine. I think it's an issue that I wrestle with and think about because I have a whole host of friends who are in gay partnerships. I have staff members who are in committed monogamous relationships, who are raising children, who are wonderful parents, and I care about them deeply. And so while I'm not prepared to reverse myself here sitting in the Roosevelt room at 3:30 in the afternoon, I think it's fair to say it's something I think a lot about. That's probably the best you'll do out of me today. He did seem to suggest legalization of gay marriage is inevitable. He said the only thing I will say today is I think it's pretty clear where the trend lines are going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the advisor to Bill Clinton on gay issues said presidents don't usually think out loud unless they intend to send a signal that they're shifting a position.
Yeah.
I think Obama realizes he can't run as a gay rights advocate in 2012 and be against marriage equality. People see domestic partnerships are separate but equal. And, you know, this is what my conversation with Ted Olson was, who obviously is to the left of Barack Obama
and
on
Dick
gay
Cheney
marriage
as well.
Yeah.
But he'll come out for...
Go ahead, David. Sorry.
That was in that conversation with bloggers, and he was talking to, you know, Joe Sudbay, the American blog guy, who said, look, we want to be there for you, but can you go that extra mile? Here's the problem. It is all about the climate. We remember that Bill Clinton tried to keep this commitment in 1993. This was, you know, this is how this all started, and this is how we got Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because the political climate is so charged that if you do the right thing, if you do health care, if you do financial reform, if you save the economy, you are blamed for doing the right thing. And the president knows that. And this is not even an indictment of the president. It's an indictment of the system. I heard you say earlier on, we have no media. If the press were actually covering the truth of this story, it would be a no-brainer. This would get done. But they're not. They're doing this as world wrestling. And if the president gets into that ring, believe me, there are a dozen Linda McMahons who are ready to get in with him and try and use it against him. And that's what they know. It's a calculation, and it is mm-hmm. awful. Because mm-hmm. this isn't about policy. It's about theater. And
I think Linda McMahon has proven she will kick anyone in the nads, either literally or politically. So I hear you.
Well, she's apparently manned up, which is
yes,
so good.
Yes, we all need to strap on a cup for Tuesday. David Bender of Ring of Fire, always a pleasure, honey. Talk to you. You're going to be in the studio with us live Wednesday to go over results.
I'll be in studio, and there is still a cabin for you, progressivecruise.com. Stephanie, you come. I swear I'll give you all of the whatever you need to not be seasick, but we're getting out of here.
I get boat sicky. I'm sorry, David.
I want to do stand-up on that cruise. You
I
should do
can't
it, Steph.
Go. But I love you, David Bender. Talk to you Wednesday.
Love you, too.
All right, honey. Bye-bye. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back with Celebrity Stack and all the latest breaking news on the midterms as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Good Sunday.
Good, buddy.
52 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama's last. The waning moments in the New York Bureau with John Fugelsang.
We're going to miss you.
In L.A. with the Mooks. I like it better when I can give Chris a paper cut when I need something that he's not getting quickly enough.
Well,
what?
Skype doesn't have the clearest screen, you know.
No,
and so
I can't
when you write
stuff at you.
Yeah, when you write something in ballpoint, I can't read it.
On a napkin.
On
especially.
A napkin.
I said I need a flammernant. Stupid. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere.
It's in the Constitution.
Mark in Cleveland. All right, that's what you said to me.
And
I was
right?
All, whatever. What, Jim? Hello. Hi, Mark. Wait, did I say Mark? Well, who did I say? Mark in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. What? Mark in Cleveland.
No.
Oh, my. Oh, I've my broken, I broke the New York Bureau again. There it is. Hi, Mark.
Hi. How are you? I think that one of the things that we ought to keep in mind as Democrats is that we ought to not just vote just to keep the Republicans out because they're awful, which they are, but because I really believe the untold story in the media is that they really are doing a great job. Right now, I'm going to school and because the Democrats have allowed me to collect unemployment while going to school. I have a coworker that is looking forward to being able to stay on her father's health insurance plan until she's 26 in January. There's a lot of really, really good progressive legislation that is changing people's lives, that is making people's lives better,
yep.
that for some reason people don't want to talk about or discuss.
Well, Joe Miller and Sharon Angle think you're a slacker, and they made that comment on the way to pick up their own government assistance.
Well, when I get my nursing degree, I'll be paying a lot more in taxes, and the government will make its money back, and then mm-hmm. some. And they ought to go to nursing school if they think I'm a slacker, because the RN program is not easy for anybody.
Yep. All right, honey.
They want to be.
Oops. All right. Thank you. And now the opposition, Jerry, my right-wing love muffin in Los Angeles, says we are the job-killing party. Hello, Jer. Jerry.
Jerry just found out the empirical fact that Obama's already created more jobs in 20 months than Bush did in 8 years.
Yeah, he's probably his Google. He was like, oh, never mind. I better hang up.
Cold, hard numbers, kids. Obama's already made more jobs.
Math is a liberal bias.
In sports news.
What, sports news?
Yeah, why not? It's in celebrity stack. It's right. entertainment news.
Does it have the words Brett or Favre in it? Because I don't want to hear anything.
No, it has a fart joke in it. Philly accuses their own of trying to slip laxatives to the San Francisco Giants.
Oh no.
That's evil.
Lucky for the San Francisco Giants, they didn't have to stay in Philly for Game 7. Giants players Pat Burrell and Brian Wilson were out with teammates at a restaurant in Philadelphia. A group of women reportedly recognized them, and they tried to convince the player's waiter to slip some X-lax in their food.
Wow.
Apparently, the server refused.
So. Oh, good.
We were saved from
Go
that.
Go Giants.
Yeah.
Put down some extra tarp on the field.
Could it be any more hilarious that in this election season it's San Francisco versus Texas?
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Perfect. Giants because we have an affiliate in San Francisco and we don't have one in Dallas. So
yes,
go San Francisco.
You, Dallas.
Yes.
All right. Let's. so we have the freedom to do that.
That's right.
All right. And the breaking Charlie Sheen news. I'm sorry. I have to clear this up. It happened in New York while I'm here. Mm-hmm. I've been walking by the plaza every day. Breaking news. Chris.
What?
It was a hooker.
Well,
a porn star who does private shows.
A porn star's a hooker after all. Capri Anderson was working as a hooker.
Not her real name, apparently.
Yeah. No.
It's really Capri Nelson.
Uh-huh.
She was working as a hooker to the tune of $12,000, which Charlie never paid, and she neglected to tell the cops about along with the blow they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Superficial. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie
what did she
had
do
never
for $12,000? That's,
Charlie had never met Christina until that night he ordered from a service. Christine was supposed to be paid $12,000. By the time the crazy night was over, she never got paid because Charlie flipped out. She told Charlie, I'm not doing anything until I get my money. And then after they did more cocaine, Charlie wanted to have sex and she demanded money. He couldn't find his wallet and flipped out. He thought she stole it, but his assistant who was down the hall had it. Who hasn't this happened to?
I'm you.
Damn assistants.
Yeah, I'm you.
Exactly. When you're trying to pay the hooker and your assistant has a wallet, you think the hooker stole it.
I'm not a whoremonger, cokehead, no talent, who screamed the N-word at my hotel room walls. I'm you.
Superficial writing. There's still some hanging legal questions regarding his probation. Probably, but the guy makes more money than God, so does it really matter? He'll just buy his own country and populate it entirely with hookers.
Mm-hmm. I heard if they're going to fire him from Two and a Half Men, they'll change the name of the show to Two Men. So that's exciting.
Hey!
Chris, I am this close to my next dream coming true. More breaking news. Actor Randy Quaid and his wife have been released from custody. It means they could run as write-in Tea Party candidates on Tuesday.
They've been released into the wild.
They've been released from a Canadian detention facility after she was declared a Canadian citizen.
They tagged them and let them go.
How do you spell poutine, eh?
This is just such a weird story.
Yes. They are wanted, of course, in Santa Barbara, where they missed a court hearing on felony vandalism charges. They appeared in an immigration hearing in which they requested refugee status based on their belief that they were being persecuted by, quote, Hollywood star whackers. As they put it, and their lives were in danger.
Star whackers.
What's that job like, being Randy and Evie Quaid's lawyer? Randy and Evie, can you online? Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
How am I going to spin this? Okay.
Poor Randy Quaid.
Okay, say it with me. Billy Ray Cyrus has a achy breaky heart. Okay, that joke's out of the way. He has filed for divorce.
Wife of 7 years.
Not dating his daughter. Don't make that joke.
I didn't
make it. He's just creepy about it.
I just said now he's free to date his daughter.
Okay.
Out in the open.
Wow, here's some kids that are going to need some therapy. Celine Dion said she wanted girls, but she's not disappointed about the boys.
Oh, no.
No, she's just thinking about a lot of things.
They're Celine Dion's kids, and they're like, oh.
Hmm.
My parents wanted me to be a boy to be a playmate to my brother. That's why I think everything turned out the way it did.
Interesting.
Huh. Mariah Carey is pregnant. When you scream, duh, make sure you sing it in a 5-octave range while twirling around in your cubicle like a magical fairy princess throwing glittery pixie dust under a double pink rainbow. According to Delisted. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show. Bye.